I invite your attention tonight to the book of Jude. Jude chapter 1, verse 1. It's my intent for the next 4 weeks to cover the book of Jude. And tonight we begin in Jude chapter 1. Well, that's the only chapter in Jude. And verse 1, would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, once again we come to you asking for your guidance in your word. Speak to us, Lord, through your word. And glorify your name in this message tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I remember as a child, the Vietnam War. And in that war, I remember, I don't know exactly how old I was at the time, but I remember watching the news on TV and in this news report, they were reporting on what was happening in Vietnam. And I remembered it scared me half to death as I watched their pictures and listened to their stories. And you see, at that time, and a lot of you, younger crowd may not know this or never thought about this, but at that time there was a draft. And, that meant that the Selective Service, if they called you, you went. And I remember as I watched that newscast, and it was early 70s approximately, and I remember thinking, I only have a few years left before the Secret Service could call me and send me to Vietnam. Now, I don't remember how old I was, 10 or 12 years old, but it scared me. And all I could think was, I don't want to go. Well, in 1975, that war ended, and the United States went to an all-volunteer military. Funny thing is that once I got old enough, guess what I did? I volunteered for the military. Went and served my time, and I was glad. I was glad to do that, and I think it benefited me very, very well. But as I read this, I was reminded, we're in the Lord's army. And we should have a somewhat militant attitude about our service for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:3, where he said, "You therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Well, in December 13th, 1992, it's when I considered I really got into the service of the Lord. That was when I was ordained. And you know what? It's been a fight ever since. But I wouldn't have it any other way. For 28 years, I've been pastoring churches. And as I said, there was a time that would have scared me to death. But today, that's the only way I can be happy. It's pastoring churches and serving in the Lord's kingdom. In Jude, he kind of gives us that military mentality. But before we get to that military mentality, we've got to get in the right mindset. Kind of like when you join the military, they send you to basic training first. Get your mind right. Well, that's what we're going to do in verse 1 when Jude says, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. Jude describes himself here, of course, he's the writer, and I believe he's the half-brother of Jesus Christ, and the reason I believe that is because it's the brother of James here, and he was a man who did not believe in Jesus Christ in the beginning. Okay? John chapter 7 verse 5 says Jesus' brothers didn't believe him. But after he saw the resurrected Christ, he was convinced and he knew that, hey, Jesus really is the Son of God. Acts chapter 1 verse 14. His brothers believed after they saw him, his resurrection. And now as he writes, I think it's probably because that time of disbelief and that coming over to really realizing, hey, Jesus is the Son of God. He's very humble in the way he describes himself. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. You see, he doesn't describe himself as the half-brother of Jesus. He just very simply says, it's me. My name's Jude, and I am a bondservant of Jesus Christ the Messiah. You see, you have to understand what a bondservant is. A bondservant is someone who's legally owned by somebody else. And a bondservant's livelihood and purpose of his life is determined by his master, the one that owns him. Therefore, his focus is never on himself, but rather, it's on the master. Now, if you grew up with a brother, imagine not believing in that brother and then one day realizing, hey, my brother is the Son of God. That's kind of what Jude is facing here, or Jude has dealt with. And that reality really humbles Jude and says, as he says, look, I'm nothing more than a bondservant owned by God Himself. And if you're earnest, going to earnestly contend for the faith, which is where we're going, the first thing you're going to have to do is put yourself in the right posture. You know, and not allow yourself to be elevated or think more of yourself than perhaps you should. Many times, do you introduce yourself when you meet somebody new? How do you introduce yourself? Have you ever introduced yourself, hi, my name is Doug, I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ? Now, all the time, I introduce myself, hello, I'm Doug. I'm the pastor of Victory Missionary Baptist Church. As though that carries weight. But you know, after I thought about Jude's introduction, I thought about myself. You know, the pastor of Victory Missionary Baptist Church is not my identification. Even though I'm thankful and I'm very glad to be the pastor of Victory Missionary Baptist Church. My identification is nothing more than that of Jude himself. My name is Doug, and I'm a bondservant, owned lock, stock, and barrel, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. His purpose is my purpose. His desire, my desire. And today, if we're gonna be in that faithful service, if we're going to be that saint who earnestly contends for the faith, we've got to set ourselves up in that position that, hey, this is not my life. I'm nothing more than a slave of Jesus Christ. And we come to grips with that position. And you know, it's a great relief when we realize, hey, I'm nothing more than a servant of Jesus Christ. Therefore, what I do is follow the orders of the Master. Jude's writing here, he's writing to, he says in verse 2, well, verse 1, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Now I want to give you a couple of definitions so we can be precise. He's writing to those who are whose participation in something is officially requested. So he's talking to those whom God has called into his service. Sanctified, those set apart for the dedication of God. Preserved, to be kept. Those who have accepted God's request is who he's talking to. Those who have accepted God's request and are set apart in dedication absolutely, completely to the service of God is who he's writing to. Now, the reason this is important is because, listen, if you're not one of the called, this means absolutely nothing to you. If you're not, if you're called but you're not dedicated to the service of God, this will not leave this building. But if you are called, if you are have submitted to that call, and if you have been set aside for the purpose of serving the Lord Jesus Christ, then you definitely need to know that you are preserved or sealed in Jesus Christ. Now, where do you fit in? Okay. Number one, are you a bondservant? Nothing more, nothing less. Number two, have you answered the call? Nothing more, nothing less. Number three, having answered that call, are you dedicated absolutely, wholeheartedly, completely to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you are, you're ready to move on, to go to the next step. Well, he does in verse 2, wish us mercy and peace and love multiplied to you, which is a basic greeting, but it is a genuine genuine greeting. Then we get to the reason in verse 3 that Jude is writing. Jude is writing, he said, while I was diligent to write to you concerning the common salvation. First thought Jude had when he thought of writing this letter, he was eager to write to the brethren concerning the thing that they all have in common, the common salvation. As I stand here before you and look at you today, I'm automatically drawn to you. And the reason I'm drawn to you is we have something in common. That something, or better yet, we have someone in common, Jesus Christ. And so, as we gather, I'm naturally drawn to you. I love to spend time with you. I love to pass the time of day with you in conversation. And that's an enjoyable thing. But that's not where we stop. Jude said, I wanted to write to you about that, but instead, it is necessary for me to write to encourage you, brethren, to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Now, here's where we get military, okay? That word contend means to fight for, to make a strenuous, labored effort on behalf of someone or something. See, the problem that the church was facing in that day was that people didn't want to fight for the faith anymore. I mean, they come from a long history of warriors, the apostles of Jesus Christ, Peter and James and John, those guys willing to go to the death if that's what was required. But Jude was sensing a shift, where people didn't want to fight the battles anymore. They didn't want to make the effort any longer. It was getting too hard. When I thought and I considered that, it reminded me of where we are today. How that most churches just don't want to fight the battle anymore. If there's ever been a day of lukewarm, it's today. You see the pattern going through the churches throughout the United States of America. Quite frankly, we complain and we talk about how terrible our country is becoming and the lack of morals and the dishonesty and everything that's so prevalent in our country. Fact is, the problem's in the churches. It's because we have not fought a good fight. It is because we have not earnestly contended for the faith. For example, churches don't have Wednesday night service anymore. Why is that? Because people don't want to go through the effort and the trouble of actually attending Wednesday night services anymore. A lot of churches don't do Sunday night like we're doing here tonight. Why is that? It's because people won't go through the effort. They don't want to fight the battle. They've got to get their clothes on and drive up to the church in their nice cars and spend a whole hour on Sunday night, you know, worshiping God. They don't want to go through that trouble. I fear that today, churches are being filled with deserters instead of those who would earnestly contend for the faith. You see, and it's not just the churches themselves, it's preachers. Preachers no longer preach like they used to. You remember the old days? Where preachers would preach hell hot, call sin, sin. Now they're afraid. Why are they afraid? They're afraid of the fight when they address sin. You know, not only is it preachers, it's parents. See, no longer do we expect our children to take a stand at school anymore. And we've, I love our children. I do. But I think we've excused bad behavior through the years by telling them, oh, you've got it worse than anybody has ever had it before. Listen, half you folks walked to school in the rain and snow, and it was uphill both ways, right? Kids today don't have it hard. The biggest challenge that kids today have is, will I stand up for Jesus Christ? Will I say something when I'm in that crowd? You see, it's so important to be accepted in today's culture. Bottom line is that from the pulpits to the pews, we've lost our zeal. I remember basic training. I was a dumb country boy from Des Arc, Arkansas. And I probably got the worst drill instructor in all the Air Force. But he had me at the end of basic training. I would have done anything that he asked me to do. Of course, he never asked me to do anything. He told me to do stuff, you know. But if he had told me I need to rush into a machine gun nest, I'd have did it. Why? Because that was my duty and I was in the military. If he'd have told me to jump on a grenade, I'd have done it by the end of basic training. Now, if he told me that in the beginning, I probably wouldn't have. But through the course of time, he convinced me that it was my duty to take orders, whatever those orders were, and carry those orders out. And I would have done that very thing. Even to the death. You know, that's the attitude we've got to get back as churches and Christians today. The attitude of actually taking our stand and no longer just melting away into the backdrop of the culture and just saying, oh, it's a lost cause. No, listen, as long as the Holy Spirit is still here and as long as God's people are still here, this is not a lost cause. There are still people to be saved. There are still stands to be taken. The problem today is the warriors for the cause of Christ are standing down instead of standing up. Reminded of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and forward. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Now that doesn't sound like somebody who's going to back down, does it? Oh, listen, I'm not suggesting that we set out and be offensive and kill them all and let God sort them out. That's not my point. My point is, It's time for Christians to be Christians. It's time for God's people to stand up and say, yes, I am a child of the King. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. I do live by the moral standards put forth in the Word of God. I do believe in the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we are here to fight. We're here to stand. What are we fighting for? We're fighting for the faith, which is everything that we believe. The gospel of Jesus Christ, salvation by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Take that stand. Next time you hear somebody talk about going to heaven because they're a good person, tell them, no, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Take your stand. Well, Brother Doug, I don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you can't ruffle anybody's feathers. Okay? Stand. Stand up. The next time you hear people talk about security of the believer or the lack thereof, tell them about Ephesians 1:13, where we're sealed by the Spirit of promise that even Satan himself can't snatch us out of the hand of God. The next time you see ungodliness and you're tempted to be drawn into the ungodly crowd, take your stand. Titus 2:12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Be reminded, we're not here to be silent. We're here to be soldiers. You say, Brother Doug, you're preaching this on Sunday night. And I'll tell you why I'm preaching this on Sunday night. Because it's a Sunday night crowd that will actually put it into practice. Okay? The challenge is, stand up. The challenge is, keep standing. You say, Brother Doug, I've been standing for so long, I'm so tired. Keep standing. Keep standing. Why do we stand? Verse 4. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Because they're out there. You see, when you leave here tonight, you've got to face them out there this week. And I know that James is likely talking about those that are sneaking into the church. And yes, we need to be on guard in the church. But also, I'm a firm believer that we need to take our country back. We need to take our stands. Be willing to stand against the godlessness of this culture. Be willing to stand when the threats are flying. Be willing to honor God no matter the consequences. You see, our society has been infiltrated. Our country was built upon the foundations and principles of the Bible. And there is a large part of our culture that's trying to tear that down. We're still here for a reason. And that reason is to stand up and be counted. See, you've got a choice this week. We're going to leave here. And quite honestly, you have probably a bigger battle than I do. Because y'all will be out there. As for me, tomorrow morning, Lord willing, I'll come back into my office and we'll have staff meeting and we'll fellowship together and talk about things. And I'll be surrounded by those guys that are very supportive and they're also Christians. But some of you work out there among people who are not. And my challenge to you is be willing to stand. Don't cower down. Don't be silent. Don't stand down. You see, that's what we're here for. I want to point one more thing out to you. Jude was challenging us to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. That last line, once delivered to the saints. You and I have been entrusted with something very dear and very precious. And that's the faith. The principles that were taught by the Apostle Paul himself. Principles that were laid down by Jesus Christ, the Son of God Himself. Principles that men have died for throughout the ages, given their life to protect and to proclaim. Let us not be the generation that stands down as this world and as Satan himself rages in battle. Let us stand up. Today you may be here, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to share with you that Jesus Christ gave His life upon the cross of Calvary. He suffered, He died to pay for your sin so that you could have eternal life. Now you've got to decide what you're going to do with Jesus. Jesus gave everything so that you could have everything. Eternity in heaven. Now tonight, you've got to decide. Are you a child of God? Have you come to the point in your life where you've called upon Jesus, making Him your Savior and your Lord? If not, this invitation is for you. You see, what if you're lost, down deep inside, you know what you're doing is not working. Okay? You know the road you're going down is not working. And friends, why would you keep doing it if it does not work? Okay? Tonight, I beg you, I challenge you, I ask you. Jesus died for you. And He offers His salvation freely for you to receive. How? If you'll confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You call upon Jesus tonight, and I promise you, by the authority of the Word of God, He'll save you. This invitation is your opportunity to step out from where you sit. Come down this aisle and let me show you in the Word of God how to call upon Jesus. If you're just, too shy or whatever to walk down this aisle, you can call upon Jesus right where you are, right here, right now. You can bow your head and ask Jesus to save you, and He will save you. But the choice is yours. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we do pray for those who are here who do not know You as their personal Savior. I pray that even now You are convicting them of sin and that You are drawing them to You and that they will respond to Your conviction of Your Spirit. And that even right now they are asking You to be their Savior and the Lord of their life. Lord, I pray for those this week who will face the battles and be challenged, Lord. Those who will be approached and Satan fires his fiery darts toward. Lord, we know this is a spiritual battle. And we can't do it in our own strength. So Lord, I pray for Your courage for them. I pray for You to fill them with Your strength and with Your Spirit. And all of us, Lord, I pray, will stand plain and proud before this world, this week and in the weeks to come, so that all may know that You are Jesus Christ, the Son of God. These things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand? Brother